Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 2 Kings with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through 2 Kings chapter 18 and chapter 19, where we see that sometimes things in our lives that were good things can end up turning into idols. Through today's study, we will see how God wants us to get rid of our idols and allow God to be in control of our lives. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1.
Thus saith the great king, that's what he calls himself, great haughtiness and arrogance, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein you trusteth? You say, but they are but vain words, I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom do you trust that you rebellest against me? You know, he's angry. You know, you're not going to serve me. You're not going to be what I've called you to be. Where do you get this from, Hezekiah? How do you think that, you know, you have any place to do this? What in the world would make you think that you're going to get away with this type of behavior, this audacity? You know, who are you trusting in here that you're being so bold? Now behold, you trust upon the staff of this bruised reed, verse 21, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, unto whom you trust on. But if you say unto me, we trust in the Lord God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and has said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? Now therefore, I pray you, give pledges to my Lord, the king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses, if you be able on thy part to set riders upon them. And he's just messing with them. How then will you turn away the face of the captain of the least of my master's servants and put my trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Am I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. He's lying. He's boldly and blatantly lying to the nation of Israel, to the king. He's saying to him here, you know, God has commissioned me to do this. God had commissioned him to be a chastising tool against the north, but not against the south. What he's doing here is what the enemy of our souls seeks to do with you and I as we seek to trust in the Lord. He doesn't actually want to go to battle with us, I don't believe. He wants to defeat us before the battle by getting us to surrender. Do you understand? I believe this, and I don't want to give a lot of place to the devil. This isn't where I believe we're supposed to be tonight in the sense of camping out. So we're going to move in a minute here. But I believe this. If you're here tonight to try to keep some order here to this message, if you're here tonight and you're seeking to be Hezekiah-ish, you're seeking to walk with the Lord, trust in the Lord in ways that not many are in this culture today, I believe that one of the ways the devil is going to seek to draw you from that position is to intimidate you and to get you to believe his lies, lies of intimidation, lies that are not true in any way. He wants you to believe these things. He wants you to bite the bait, and he wants to draw you into warfare without actually going into battle and defeat you through that method. Because if you actually go to war with the devil and you keep Jesus between you and him, he knows he doesn't stand a chance. But if he can get you to wave your white flag and surrender before you actually engage, and he knows he can just get into your mind and whisper lies to you, and just sort of engage in warfare with you mentally speaking and just keep you there without you actually going for help to anybody else who would strengthen you and pull you from that pit, he'll love to do it. He'd love to do it. If you're trying to trust in Jesus, man, he's not okay with that, because you're going to be a force to reckon with for the kingdom of light. So rather than actually going to battle with you, he'll just seek to get you to bow out of battle by psychological warfare. You're going to go to church and serve God tonight. After today's behavior, after what you've done this week, you're going to call yourself an usher, a teacher of the children. How ridiculous you are. You don't actually think that God is pleased with the sacrifice of praise that comes from your lips when your lips have been speaking these things all week long. You might as well just not even go to church. You're going to read your Bible this morning, you holy roller. After you watched those shows last night, after you watched that image on your phone, now you're going to get up in the morning and read your Bible. Yeah, God's really pleased with you. You're a joke. And this is one of the greatest tactics of the enemy. If he can just get in your head, just like sports. If an opponent can get in your head before you actually play the sport or do the match, whatever it's going to be, fight the fight, man. If he can do that, half the fight is already over. He's beat you in your mind mentally. You're already done. You've already lost before you actually engaged. Listen to me, please, church. The devil has lost the war. Jesus is the victor. He has won the war. And you've heard me say it so many times, and I'll say it to the day that Christ calls me home. We don't fight for victory. Please keep that in your mind as you move forward in your Christian walk. We don't fight for victory. We don't have to fight for the victories that we're going to celebrate big time at Spencer High School next Sunday. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory, right? Jesus, his hand has already been raised by the Father, and we're in Christ, so our hands have technically been raised too. We are just as if we've never sinned. The devil's got nothing on us, and he can't beat us. He can't defeat us. He can't stop us so long as Jesus is between us and him. But he wants to whisper in your head lies, exaggerated truths sometimes, or even truths altogether. He'll do that too. If the lies don't work, he'll just tell you truths about yourself. We have given him tons of ammo with just truths, haven't we? He'll just start telling you truths. He'll just start recollecting and reminding, but we got one who doesn't remember at all those things, chooses not to remember. The great I am. You might want to write that down. That could be life-changing for you. The enemy's plan isn't necessarily to beat you in battle, but before battle. He wants to force surrender. You know, God, I'm not going to serve you anymore. How many of you servants, if I can have a selah with you for a second, how many of you servants have done what I've done? God, I've entertained this thought. I might just not serve the way I'm serving to this capacity because the warfare is so insane. So if I just back out a little bit, maybe life will chill out a little bit. Anybody ever been there? If I just stop teaching the kids, if I just stop teaching the adults, if I'm stopping the worship team or going to prayer so much, man, ever since I've done these things, the warfare is just intensified. So maybe if I just, guess what just happened? You surrendered. You bowed out before the battle. He forced surrender to you. He got you to believe that. Like you're really gonna, like you're gonna be left alone now. Only the servants of the Lord suffer. He got you to believe that. He got you to believe that you should just stop right where you are because ever since you've started to do whatever you're doing, you've been in the furnace. So you might as well just get out of the furnace by stop serving God. And what's just happened now? Forced surrender is what it is. And that's why we can't do this thing. Serving Jesus, living for Jesus in the flesh. We'll never make it. That's why it's not by our might or by our power, because we will bow out. We will say, this is way too intense. The lies of the enemy, the attacks of the enemy, the patronizing of the enemy, it's too much. We'll do that. But it's not by our might. It's not by our power, but it's by his spirit that we press in and press onward. And I'm so grateful that he's not greedy with his spirit. He fills us and fills us and fills us over and over again. If you're here tonight and you're thinking, I'm starting to believe the lie, I'm starting to feel like I got to get out before I'm too thickly in here, just be filled with the Spirit of God before you go home. He'll strengthen you. He'll renew your inward spirit. So this is going on, and then said Eliakim, verse 26, the son of Hilkiah and Shebna and Joah unto Rabshakeh. I mean, this is just not getting easier tonight. He said, speak, I pray thee, to thy servants in the Syrian language. For we understand it, and we talk not with us in the Jews' language in the ears of the people that are on the wall. I mean, they can hear it too. But Rabshakeh said unto them, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee, verse 27, to speak these words? Has he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall, and they that they may eat their own dung and drink their own urine with you? A lot of times that's what would happen when the enemy would set a siege around the city. It'd be a walled city, and they would, again, psychological warfare, they would just stay there, their presence, and then you couldn't go out of the city to get food and water. Once you ran out, you'd have to submit. You'd have to surrender. So they're saying you're on the verge of that. In history, this is what people would do. They would drink their own urine. They would eat their own, their children. I mean, when you're desperate, desperate times call for desperate measures. These are things that would happen. But here's what's fascinating, you thick Bible students that love the word and you know it. This is where Hezekiah's tunnel comes in. If you've been to Israel before, from the Pool of Siloam up to the Gihon Springs, That's where this was ran. I forgot the distance now. I remembered it earlier, but it was outstanding. 1,700 feet long, this thing was dug through. Thick rock, a lot of it being granite, from the outside of the city walls into the city. So he had no clue that water supply is being brought in so they could stay there all day long as the Syrian army is encamped around the city. The wisdom that God, we that have been to Israel, we have walked through Hezekiah's tunnel. It's fascinating. It's unbelievable. And that's going on, but he doesn't know that. He doesn't know that they have that water supply. He doesn't know that if you seek God first in his righteousness, all these things that you need will be added unto you. He doesn't know that. That water supply is there, even in the midst of them being, you know, completely surrounded by this great foe. And the water supplies that are available to us, the water of God's word, the water of God's spirit, man, those things are supplied to us. The enemy doesn't stand on those things. We do. And they're our strength. So then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language. And he spake, saying, "Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king," verse 29, "Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, 'The Lord will deliver us.' And this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Don't hearken to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me. And then eat ye every man of his own vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one of the waters of his cistern." The devil does that too. He promises things. If we stop following our king, he'll give us other things. We have a greater than Hezekiah. If you stop following after him, I'll give you other things that are appealing to your flesh, your fleshly appetites. He promises to us. "I'll give you these things," he says, "until I come and take you away to a land like your own," verse 32, "a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive oil and of honey, that you may live and that you would not die." Just don't hearken to Hezekiah when he persuades you, saying, "The Lord will deliver us." Is this not so the devil? I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep stopping here, but is this not so the devil? And he's a mimicker, by the way. He's a copycat. Look at what he's doing here. "I'll give you guys a land like your own." He even mentions honey and oil, things that Israel is renowned for. "I'll give you those things. It'll be just like your own, but a little bit better. I'll give them to you. Here's the only contingency. Just don't obey the word of God." He's telling some of you that tonight. Some of you are in the thick of this warfare tonight. You're hearing that voice. Just come out of the governing of God's word in your life. You're being so stringent. Let loose a little bit. Let loose and live a little bit. Enjoy yourself. You don't got to be at every church service. You don't got to wake up early in the morning and read the word. You don't got to be so prude. Let loose a little bit. How else are you going to enjoy life? "I'll give you what Jesus gives you. It'll be just as good. It'll be just like it," because that's all he's got to offer. You see, and here's the thing. If you stay in the word of God, he doesn't stand a chance. If you will stay in the word of God every day, Jesus, through his word, will disarm the enemy's tactics and strongholds in your life. I believe that. He'll give you your daily bread every day. It will be enough for that day. It's just like the manna of old in the wilderness. You only get that day's portion. You take more than that, it will spoil, it will go bad. But you get that day. Every day you wake up and you go get it the first in the day. You go out of your tent and you take it, and it's yours for that day. That's what the word of God is. If you get up every day, beloved, listen, please, and you open the word of God and you let it speak to you, he'll give you what you need, the sustenance that you need, the nutrition that you need for that day to disarm the enemy from messing with you. He'll give you your portion. In a way that a devotional can't, a podcast preacher can't, or I can't. He'll give you exactly what you need for that day. But if you don't, he'll make a fool out of you. Because you know something? He knows the word of God better than any of us do. And if he can get you guys to not know the playbook, if he can get you guys not to know basic instructions before leaving Earth, Bible, he'll ruin you. Well, you might be saved and you're going to go to heaven when this life is over, but you don't stand a chance. You ever talk to certain Christians and you think, how long have you been saved? You've been saved for so long, and not to be demeaning, but I'm asking you guys sincerely, have you ever talked to these Christians and they don't really know how to stand? The only way to stand is if you build your life on the word of God. That's it. You won't make it any other way. That's why the enemy point blank says all you got to do is just stop obeying the word of God. He even tells them that. And you think, how stupid would they be? But how stupid are we so many times? You young people that are here tonight, I see so many young faces, start reading the Bible. Start reading the Bible every single day. And I understand it's hard to understand at times and you're tired. It's okay to be tired. It's okay to even fall asleep in the middle of reading the word of God. He'll honor it. Just start getting familiar with the scripture. Just start putting it in. Start putting it in you and watch it have its effect. It's majestical. There's nothing like it. It has this power in our lives that changes and transforms us unlike anything else in all of the world. And he mocks, he says, has any of the gods of the nations, verse 33, delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Syria? I mean, this has never happened before, what your king has told you. Heard that lie before too. You're trusting in Jesus to do what? I've never seen this happen before. Where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim and Hena and Eva? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? I mean, they didn't stand a chance. Who are they among all the gods of the countries, verse 35, that have delivered their country out of my hand? Has the Lord, should he deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? I mean, no one has delivered anyone out of my hand. Now all of a sudden your God's going to be different? But the people held their peace and they answered him not a word. That's such wisdom. Don't talk to the devil. If you say anything to the devil, say, I resist you in the name of Jesus. That's about it. Because listen to me, please. You try to mess with the devil apart from Jesus, you're ruined. I believe it. You don't stand a chance. Keep Jesus between you and the adversary of your soul. If you want to talk to somebody, talk to Jesus. Don't talk to the devil. They answered him not a word. And it says, for the king's commandment was this, don't answer him. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, verse 37, which was over the household of Shebna the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder. They came to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and they told him the words of Rabshakeh. Now listen, let's go through a few verses, we'll close. Chapter 19, verse 1, it comes to pass, when Hezekiah hears it, he rents his clothes, that's a sign of deep mourning. He covered himself with sackcloth, itchy garments, and he went to the house of the Lord. Great instruction. Great practical application, man. You're in a place of spiritual warfare. You're getting attacked. The worst thing you can do is stop going to church. The best thing you can do when you are the most down and out and you're most weary and weak, get to church. Go to the house of the Lord. The days you feel least like it are the days you need to be most here. If you're here tonight and you have a headache, you're here tonight and you feel sick, you're here tonight and you're oppressed, you're here tonight and you're just sick of being a Christian, you're in the perfect place to be. And you're in a company of people that have felt or are feeling the exact same way as you. Everyone here, if they're being honest and they really walk with Jesus, has entertained the idea of walking away from Jesus. Every single person here has been tempted. Every single person here has been overcome by temptation. Every single person here has been wearied. Every single person here has had physical infirmities and struggles in life, man. It's normal. And when you feel that way, get to the house of God. When you feel that way, go to the house of the Lord and meet with the God of the house. You understand? It's powerful. He goes to the house of the Lord, and he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, the elders, the priests, covered with sackcloth, and they go and get Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. That's our guy. It's one of the biggest, most mentioned prophets in all of the New Testament. Isaiah. This is our man. It's like the Old Testament gospel, Isaiah. You should read that book as we're moving through this. And they said unto him, thus says Hezekiah, verse 3, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke. We've had days of trouble, haven't we? We've had days of rebuke. Listen, and blasphemy, for the children are come forth to birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It's a proverbial statement indicating calamity. We are done, Isaiah, apart from a move of the Spirit. We need help. It may be the Lord thy God, verse 4, will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God has heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. When he's in trouble, when he's down and out, what does he do? He goes to the house of the Lord, and he calls on other believers. He calls on men who are strong in the Lord. He calls on people who can be a support and who can seek the Lord with them. That's what you should do. You should, if you say, well, I don't have anybody, my spouse isn't saved, my children aren't saved, my parents aren't saved, go to your elders, go to your pastors, go to the leadership in your church and say, help me, pray for me. Listen, we've got to learn this a little bit more in the church. We don't got to do the whole Christianese when we walk in. We don't got to say, bless you, Lord, praise God, high five, everything's wonderful. We are allowed, we are permitted by the Holy Spirit to be real. I mean, some of us can get a little bit too real. There should be a balance. You shouldn't say everything. You should have a guard over your mouth, a watch over your tongue. You should be careful. You should keep your circle small. Everyone should keep their circle small. We shouldn't all be blurping to everybody and anybody about what we're going through. We shouldn't go around the church after service tonight and go from group to group to group and play the whole woe is me. Go to a group, go to a person, then end it right there and be available for somebody else. You're not the only one who's hurting. The greatest way that God will minister to you is by allowing him to minister through you. Be a vessel to somebody else. Everybody's suffering, so please understand that. There's not a person in this room tonight that's not being touched by some type of suffering. And somebody always has it worse than you do. So a good way to get your eyes off yourself and to forget about yourself is to be available to somebody else. Get your prayer, get your counsel, and then move on and be a conduit of God's love to somebody else. He says, Isaiah, I need you to seek the Lord. I want to just take you through a few more verses. Isaiah said back to him in verse 6, thus shall you say to your master, thus says the Lord. First of all, don't be afraid. Those are great friends to have. Don't be afraid. If God is for you, who can be against you? Don't be afraid of the words that you have heard. It's all it is. It's hearsay. That which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me, not you, Hezekiah, me. So what does that tell me? You mess with God's children, you mess with God.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.